Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm wondering if you understand the power of your own mind to heal yourself. So, from a network engineering job to a sudden accident, my guest Brandy Gilmore's life completely changed in an instant. When one doctor after the other said that there was nothing else that they could do, her pain, her debilitating pain, was a condition she was going to have to live with. She just wasn't going to believe that. And she took her network engineering brain and began to kind of reverse engineer her own feeling from the simple thought that if a placebo can help people heal, then the mind must be a very powerful thing. So Brandy Gilmore is going to be joining us next to tell us her story of going from a wheelchair to a walker to a cane to walking. We'll be right back. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My next guest healed herself from her own incredibly devastating accident that left her disabled and living in a wheelchair for 7 years. An excruciating pain, not only in the wheelchair, but living on multiple painkillers in a world that she thought would never end. Now she is a world-renowned mind body energy expert, and she's incredibly well known. She has a wonderful TEDx talk out there with hundreds of thousands of views on it, talking about the ability of the mind to heal the body and actually get incredible results too. Welcome, Brandy. How are you?
Lisa, I am doing fabulous. How are you?
I am doing great. I am doing great. Wow. We've been on a journey this last week or so.
It's great to talk to you again.
I know. Now we get to talk on actual radio, which is a lot of fun. I've known Brandy for a while and have interviewed her on my radio show, The Aware Show. And you're such a humble healer. I would never have known until this last week the real true power of your ability to tangibly get results from somebody else's physical cells. But I want to back up for a second there and find out, how did you discover all of this? What changed in your life during that incredibly life-changing accident?
You know, really everything. I mean, as the opening mentioned, I did network engineering and operations and literally went from going to a job that I loved because I loved what I did to then I had an accident. I had both a car accident and then a while later I had a fall and I felt like just wrong, just right, however you want to look at it. But basically, I ended up with a neurological issue, neurological disorder, reflex neurodystrophy, or complex regional pain syndrome. It's got both names, but in spinal end plate fractures and multiple things. And basically, I went from like living this full life and working full time and enjoying and just loving life to wheelchair, walker, cane. And, you know, on a good day, I could get out and get out in the wheelchair and walker or cane. And on a bad day, I didn't make it out of bed. And I was just in so much pain and on morphine every day. And my entire world changed.
Oh, I was rewatching your TEDx talk, and I highly recommend anyone who wants to check it out later. It's just look up Brandy Gilmore. But in you got sta several rounds of applause and standing ovations because people really felt your level of pain and where you started with that. How long did it take a toll on you? I mean, was there a point where you just wanted to give up?
God, there were so many points that I wanted to give up. You know, when doctors tell you that there's nothing that they can do for you, it shakes you, you know? And I think that and in being in so much pain and when there was that, and then, you know, it's like kind of like you go through the traditional route. So that's what I did. I was, you know, going to my doctors and one doctor said there's nothing else they could do for you. So I went to another team of doctors and basically, I would go to the hospital, and there would be an entire team of doctors that would come in and put their heads together because I wasn't willing to give up. But every time they kept saying there's nothing, and so I started looking, you know, just outside of the box, Israel and Mexico and looking in other countries. And, you know, you have this hope that it's like, hopefully that they'll discover something. It's like some new cutting-edge procedure or something like that, or new surgery, and you'll get your life back. And that's what I had been hoping, is somebody to discover something. And finally, there was this trial experiment that they told me that I could be a part of, and I thought, oh, my God, this is it. I'm going to get my life back. And, like, even, like, I was just waiting for the day to come for this procedure. And so finally, you know, it came, and I was counting down the days, and it came. And, like, I even remember when I went to go into the hospital, like, I cared what I actually wore, like, which was big for me, because before that, it was, I didn't care. I didn't care what I looked like. I didn't care at all. And I was like, it felt like I was going to the hospital to get my life back.
Wow.
And, yeah, and so they wheeled me into the hospital in my wheelchair and got me all set up. And as I was starting to do, you know, get ready to get this trial experiment, the doctor, he came in and he was like, he looked at me and he was like, you know, Ms. Gilmore, I've re-reviewed your charts, and we don't really expect that this is going to work. We don't expect you to get better. And in that very moment, like, I felt like every hope that I even had of getting better just washed. I didn't remember leaving the hospital that day.
Wow.
Or what happened the next few days, but
disappointment of that. I mean, had you tried everything other than medical treatments? Did you try meditation, yoga, or anything? I mean, you probably couldn't have done yoga.
I couldn't have done yoga.
Uh-huh.
Meditation. So I had been trying meditation, visualization, Reiki, acupuncture, acupressure, mm-hmm. reflexology, even things like DLPA, because I was like, okay, well, helps modulate the, you know, dopamine helps influence the neurotransmitters, DLPA helps influence the neurotransmitters.
What is DLPA?
DLPA is like an amino acid that helps, it's like a precursor.
Oh.
So it helps, and pronouncing it, it's one of those interesting words, but if you pronounce it, it's D-L-phenylalanine.
Oh, yeah. So it's like amino acid therapy type of thing.
Yeah. And
okay.
What it's supposed to do is it's supposed to help to increase dopamine. And then dopamine, in turn, is supposed to help regulate and modulate pain. I did, like, a lot of crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Even to the point where your body, like, if you eat a bunch of spicy foods, your body's actually supposed to help release more endorphins that are actually supposed to help with pain. So I would even...
Wow.
Right?
You've learned... I never even knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I would do? Because I was so desperate. I started getting out little shot glasses, and I put a little bit of water in them and a ton of cayenne pepper in it, and
right.
then I would drink it and burn the hell out of my mouth.
Oh, my gosh. Girl.
I was so... I was on morphine. I was on, like... I was on morphine every day at this time, and also, like, Norco for breakthrough pain and Neurontin and lidocaine. I mean, I was on so many different things and still in pain. And if you take more of that, it didn't seem to take it just took the edge off. It didn't seem to do more except for make you drugged and drowsy.
Right.
I didn't like to be drugged and drowsy.
Right, and you have to stay ahead of that. So what flipped the switch for you?
You know, I got tired of things not working. It's so funny, but when I did network engineering and operations, we had an MTTR of 4 hours, which was a mean time to repair. Basically, if things went down, I had to fix it in 4 hours.
Wow.
And I started, looking at my life, and I had been meditating and doing the affirmations and the visualization and everything, and it... Like, sure, I could get my pain down a little bit, or, you know, I would have this meditation where I would, like, send my pain to the center of the earth, and it would go down, but nothing was life-changing, and it didn't stay gone, and my body didn't heal, and I was still a mess. And so I started looking at this and going, okay, this isn't working. And there were other things that really woke me up. Like, for instance, I started reading about the awareness that, you know, that the body was constantly repairing and replacing cells. And I was looking at it, you know, even science shows about 10 years, we have a new skeleton, approximately. So when I started looking at it, and I had been injured for several years, I was like, wait a second, if the body is constantly repairing and replacing cells, then how is it even possible for somebody to have that old football injury from high school, you know?
Good point. Good point.
I mean, it just didn't make sense, right? And so, and even when I started looking at atoms in the body, and there was like stuff in, it just all kinds of things. It was like 98% of atoms renew themselves. And I was like, this just doesn't make sense. And when you stop and really think about the fact that the body is constantly healing itself.
Right.
And you start to look at it and go, that doesn't make sense. And I was like, or maybe it does.
Does, yeah.
Because while the rest of the body is constantly repairing and replacing cells, the brain is not. Not like the body is. And so it led me to the brain.
The brain is just constantly mirror mapping over onto the new cells the old injury imprint.
Exactly. And so that's what I asked myself is I was like, okay, well, if the body's constantly repairing and replacing cells, then why is my body continuing to recreate the same problem? And what is it in my brain and my wiring that I need to fix to make my body actually recreate my body as healthy? So,
yes, yes.
Right? And so there were other things also. Like when once the research experiment, and they said it wasn't going to work, I started going, well, wait a second. You know, it's proven that the placebo works over and over and over again. I mean, that's been proven more than anything in history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more than any other medication or drug. And I thought, okay, well, you know, if we know that there's magic in our minds, if we know that somehow our mind has this ability, then how do I tap into that? And then I started looking at anomalies in the mind. And one of the things that really struck me, because I was, you know, very much in the network engineering mindset, and I was like, you know, the idea of healing with the mind didn't make that much sense to me. But you couldn't not look at all the research and go, wait, it's got to be there, you know? And so when I started looking at MPD, so multiple personality disorder, that people could have different ailments when they're in different personalities, different body temperature, blood pressure, asthma, allergies, when they're in different personalities.
Right.
And I was like, WTF, that doesn't make sense. And so that also made me really start looking at the mind.
Yes. So if you can actually affect the mind can impact the body, it really is master control of the cells. And it's
absolutely,
the cells are puppets of the mind. But realizing that is kind of the first step. And how long did you really dive into that material?
Well, I think this is the thing, is that, you know, when you start looking at metaphysics and all of that, it becomes very, like a very esoteric journey. And so, I mean, as far as like the quantum field, and I was researching, you know, the quantum field and photons and subatomic particles and electrons and the spinal thalamic pathway and you know, neuroscience and all this stuff. And what I really needed to do to get results, because I was studying that for like, about 4 years, four and a half years before I started to get significant results. I mean, yes, I could relax away and work on, you know, sending my pain to the center of the earth, but real results, it had been several years. And that's when I started looking at it going, you know, something's missing here because it shouldn't take this long.
Right. So what did you discover?
Basically, it sounds so easy, but I simplified everything. And I said, okay, because that's what I used to do with network engineering. I would simplify everything to get the results that I really needed. And I said, okay, well, yes, we know that the mind affects the physical body. And I started looking for simple ways that I could see that. And I said, okay, yeah, if somebody's embarrassed, their face turns red, or anxiety attack, somebody can have an anxiety attack, racing heart, shortness of breath. And I was like, yes, we all know that. That's common sense. And I thought, okay, you know, just feeding my mind with, okay, well, next logical step, next logical question, well, how much can emotions really affect the physical body?
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at it and going, wait a second. You know, we know that if, unfortunately, an infant doesn't get enough love, they can die. Or a senior who loses a spouse can die.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking at things like scared to death and bored to death. And I thought, if we can die from boredom, you know, before that, I just thought they were figures of speech. You know, somebody says, "Oh my God, I was so bored to death." Or,
do people really die from boredom?
Yes, extreme boredom. You can die from that, or even like scared to death. Somebody can be scared so much.
I understand that with the heart rate, but I guess apathy. Of course, you can be purposeless to death. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Which was crazy, and I thought, well, wait a second. Well, then, what about the rest of emotions? You know, we know anxiety, or we know embarrassed face turns red, or even sexual thought, sexual physical response, different for men or women.
Right.
But it's still there. And I was like, well, what about hurt? What about anger? What about rejection or loneliness or all of those? What are they doing that we're not noticing? And so that's what I started looking at. And of course, at the same time, I was extremely skeptical because I was like, but I had an accident. I had a car accident and a fall. That doesn't make sense.
Hmm.
But, you know, if you think about it, we've heard that stress can affect the body or stress can slow down healing or different things like that. And so I just kind of really started diving in and looking at what it was that I needed to do. Now, the other thing is because I was very used to troubleshooting, I looked at it and said, wait a second. Because I always wanted to have an open mind and said, okay, well, we know that stress affects the physical body, but let's be honest, there are plenty of officers or people in the military or plenty of people who are extremely stressed who aren't sick. How does that work?
True, true.
And so, and so basically what I ended up figuring out is that it's a certain combination of emotions and programming in the subconscious mind, and that's what the issue is. And so it's kind of like, you know, if somebody wants to make cake and they have flour, they can't make cake. But if they have cake and make, or flour
right.
with eggs and butter and whatnot, you can make cake. And so that's how I help people to get results, and that's how I was able to get results, is I was like, okay, well, let me figure out what the certain mixture of ingredients is, and let me shift that. And that's how I've been able to also help people to get, like, radical results.
Is it different for every person, or is it the same? I mean, is there a base recipe?
It's always a combination of, it just depends on, of course, where it shows up in the body. Just like somebody can have anxiety or, you know, like sexual thought is different than anxiety is different than bored to death.
Okay. But
what's brilliant about it is this, is it our thoughts, of course, help create our lives, right?
Yes.
And when we stop and look at it, people have emotional patterns. And so if we take it, you know, a well-known example from psychology, you know, somebody, we've heard before that somebody who, maybe a woman who has an abusive father, she leaves him and then finds the abusive boyfriend, boss, spouse, man, dog.
Mm.
You know, she ends up, unfortunately, continuing that pattern.
Right.
And so we can see that the emotions from her childhood ended up manifesting in her life, unfortunately. Now, what's beautiful is that every ailment has a message in it of change. And so basically what happens is that when you identify what it is specifically that's going on inside the physical body and you change that, you also change your life. So it's kind of like a check engine light, if you will, the universe saying, wake up, this is what you want to change. So there's always a gift in it. And that's what's freaking amazing about it.
What was yours? What was your message that changed and unlocked that for you? You have 1 minute.
You are so funny.
I have a minute till the break. We can always continue afterwards, but tell me in a minute, Brandy.
I had so many messages. Mm. I would say it was really, it had to do, partly to do with getting rid of fear and embodying life itself, which wouldn't have felt like it was me, but I don't, in a minute, I can't even say. I can just say it changed my entire life and woke me up to a whole new level of awareness.
Getting rid of fears. Wow. That's easier said than done. We're going to find out how Brandy did it after the break. We will be right back. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr. Wanted to tell you about my show on Free Speech TV. If you go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/FSTV. You will see on there, they are featuring a show I just did with Anita Morjani. And this show was so amazing. We caught this whole thing on video of a light beam that was coming through Anita, even though all the blinds were closed, when we were both talking about our very dear friend, Wayne Dyer. And this show, the light never moved off of her shoulder, despite the fact that an hour of sunlight went by. It stayed in the exact same place. And we caught the whole thing on video, and we did a whole show around it. Apparently, Wayne wanted to be involved. So you should check this out if you go to theawareshow.com/FSTV. You'll see the whole unfolding of that fun show that we did together. Love it when that happens. All right. We'll be right back. You are listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr, and my guest is Brandi Gilmore. And if you have been listening to the last part of this interview, we're talking about the power of the mind to heal. And Brandi has also a podcast, and she actually does live healings on the podcast. And you can listen to some of them, and they have people that come on and experience real-time healing. It's a very cutting-edge podcast. It is called, what is your podcast called? Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. So we were talking earlier about what was it that unlocked your healing? Like, what was it that was your message of change? Because you say every ailment has a message of change.
It does. And I have to tell you two things real quick as we come back.
Okay.
Like, I was listening to the commercials.
Yeah.
Okay, and two things. First and foremost, I was just texting with Anita Morjani, and she said, make sure to tell Lisa hi. And then that came up. So
that's funny.
Yes. So hi from her, FYI. And the other thing is that the other commercial that was mentioned was the 9/11 thing, and that was actually what my injury was about. That last, literally, we're coming back, and it was just like, and 9/11, it was saying about that. And that's actually what my injury was from. So it was funny that that came right back, and I wasn't actually present in 9/11. That's what was really interesting about it, is I mentioned that I did network engineering ops prior to my injury, and I was working. My shift was 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. in California, and so that put me in the office in New York, or when the planes were hitting in New York, and so at 5 a.m., you know, Pacific time. And so part of what happened was that I was working, and I was online with my coworkers in New York working. That's what I did, is I worked everything East Coast at that time. And all, like, people were all screaming and saying, help me, help me. And you know, I just wanted to help them, and I couldn't. And then suddenly the phone went dead.
Oh.
And then there was just a lot of stuff around it, you know, not to put too much negative energy into the air, but there was a lot of stuff around it. And then also, like, there was, you know, in the office that I worked in, because it was telecommunications, we always had to know current events. And so I was surrounded by TVs, literally physically. You know, there's probably like five TVs surrounding me. And so it went into my, like, my nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that. And then, I mean, and then it was like I kept attracting traumas, like somebody pulled a gun on me, and it just did, like, in a car. I mean, just different things like that. So I would say one of my gifts is, because our patterns breed more of the same, is that multiple, like, crazy trauma energy, like, of events just kept happening. And so I would say, I mean, literally there were so many gifts that came out of my injury. So I would say, first and foremost, identifying that that pattern was occurring in my life and shifting that was a huge gift.
Well, yes. I mean, to be able to identify that, though, most people would just go into victimhood and say, why is all this happening to me? Why am I always attracting the wrong partner? why do I keep getting fired? You know, those things, people hear those patterns and they say, I'm the victim of the universe.
Absolutely. That's what happens all the time. And so, honestly, thank God, my life is beautifully eventful in wonderful ways instead of that stuff. But, I mean, that was huge. And then, I mean, shifting that, but also in being able to understand how energy works. I think that all of the time I see people with metaphysics or the power of the mind, and they're struggling to get real results, like real results in the area of relationships or with money or, you know, just trying to get real results in life. You know, they'll see signs or they'll see, you know, evidence of it somewhere, and they're really synchronicities, you know, really excited about the synchronicities. But the real change that they're wanting, a lot of people don't see. And what I feel like is a gift is that for you to get results with healing, it takes really understanding the mind and creating a real shift. And when you create that authentic shift, it shifts on the inside, and of course it shifts your life also. So it, not only did it allow me to go from attracting negative circumstances to positive circumstances, which was a lot better, but it also taught me what real change took to then manifest my life differently. And of course, you know, during my injury, I went from a network engineering income to a disability income, and that messed up my finances in a major way. And so part of getting better was then also going, okay, well, how do I create the change in my finances to actually make money again and to be able to make good money? And so that was something else. And so I would say that, or even the ability to channel information like I do, and, you know, just, I mean, my life, my entire life and the entire way that I see the world changed. And I think that also when I was going through researching even metaphysics and visualization and the power of the mind, it felt like I was waiting on the universe to deliver the results. Like I felt like I was waiting for healing. You know, I was doing all the right things and the affirmations and the written things and all of that, and that I wasn't getting the results. And I think that another thing that happened is I really, when I understood clarity around how to heal myself, it made me realize that results happen so much faster. And when most people think that they're waiting on the universe, they think, oh, I'm doing everything right. That's what I thought. I'm doing everything right. I'm just waiting for my body.
Yeah.
You know?
But you had to change your belief system, right, around fear in order to, for your body to start to heal, right?
Yeah. I mean, my belief system, I really actually had to change what was in the subconscious mind, because what happens is that in my conscious mind, I would have said, I'm not in fear. I mean, I had grown up in martial arts. So, I mean, the first time I went to, like, Junior Olympics, I was, like, 13 years old in martial arts. And so, and I won.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so it was, I grew up feeling very, like, quote-unquote strong. Like, even my mother, I mean, I remember the one time that she cried growing up. I mean, so for me, I was, quote-unquote, not an emotional person, which just meant I was really good at burying my emotions, which isn't good. And so so it was really about understanding that the things that we even bury in the subconscious mind that we don't think impact us really actually do. Because I would have thought, I'm not in fear. Like, I'm more concerned about those people. My emotions don't matter. I wasn't there, you know, but my nervous system didn't feel that same way.
And so you identified what was going on in the nervous system and brought that to the surface.
Exactly. Because what happens is that we have, you know, basically what I call core energy and transmission energy. And a lot of times what happens, you know, if we think about something and we'll see a synchronicity, or we think about somebody and they call, that's just transmission energy. That's energy that we're transmitting in the moment. But to make real life changes or health changes, ultimately what we have to do is we have to change our core energy. And what that is that the thoughts and emotions that are linked up and stored in the subconscious mind, those are constantly emanating energy into the quantum field. without us even needing to tap into them. And so we can walk around, we could be sleeping, we could be doing whatever, and not even consciously thinking about something. And because that information is stored in the subconscious mind, it's still sending core energy into the quantum field that then's attracting and shaping our lives.
With a powerful signal too, like a strong signal. It's like emanating fear or emanating poverty or emanating lack of confidence, whatever it is that is the core problem, it's louder
absolutely
in our field than we ever know. That's why it creates all the accidents and the victimization and the illness.
Exactly. Mm. And not only that, but even why when we try to use our conscious mind to change it, like somebody can be thinking, oh, I want to bring in more money, or oh, I want to be healthy, and they're thinking that. But that transmission energy of thinking that isn't as strong as the core energy that's emanating all of the time.
Wow. It's really in underneath, but it's more powerful than our conscious thoughts. Hmm. So when you work with people now, can you hear and identify those subconscious beliefs from the person? Is it from, you said that you channel this information now. How do you hear it, Brandy?
How do I hear it? Well, I like to call it, I always simplify everything.
Good.
And so
it's really clear that way. I like it.
Right? So I just like to refer to it as universal Wi-Fi. It's kind of like when we get Wi-Fi on our internet, like on our computer or something like that. Basically, we could call it quantum entanglement with non-locality if you wanted to get more technical. But basically, I can feel what other people feel. And so for me to help them get results, what I do is just notice what it is that they're feeling, and then I look for the specific programming that's needed to help them to shift it.
Got it. Oh, that's so interesting. So you can feel empathetically what others are feeling. And there was if you could talk about this study that was done with you about that with the thermography. And also the one with the photons. Those are fascinating.
Absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. Basically when I got better, I started speaking because I then started helping other people to get these radical results, you know, helping people to release chronic pain in minutes. And
wow.
Yeah.
Because
right?
You found out that if you could do it, anyone can do it, and you could figure out how to help them.
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting because when I got better, I thought, I'm just going to share this with my doctors, you know, and they can help everybody. But it didn't exactly work that way. And I thought, I was naive at the time. I was like, but everybody needs to know this because it's amazing.
Right.
And the things that I get to see are truly so incredible. I mean, the eyesight coming back and people releasing all kinds of ailments. It's beautiful. But I was like, okay, well, I just have to show people this is possible because a lot of people don't even believe it's possible. And then other people are meditating and spending lifetimes, like 20 years, 50 years meditating, trying to get results, and they still haven't healed. And so I was like, well, I just want to show people that you can do it. And so that's what I started doing. I started just coaching people and saying, well, this is how you do it. And just like I do on my podcast now, it's exactly that reason. It's because I want people to see that they can just get results. And so I started speaking on stages, and I would take volunteers from the audience and show them how to release pain. And I thought, okay, well, one of these days somebody's going to think, well, that person must be a plant. They couldn't really be in pain. And so I started showing it under thermography. And for those of you who aren't familiar with thermography, basically, as the name suggests, you know, thermal is basically heat energy from the body. And so it's like a medical heat scan of the body. And what happens is, you know, if somebody's experiencing some type of pain, let's say they have neck pain, when they're under the scan, the neck will show up like all red. And it indicates areas that have pain and inflammation. And for normal areas, they're completely green. And that indicates, you know, it's normal. And so what happened is I started showing people who were in extreme pain, and you could see it on the scan, and then I would just coach them to use their mind to release the pain. And not only did they notice the pain was gone, then also you would see the scan literally real time go from red to green as their pain went away. And so people can actually see that you can get physical results using the mind. So
now, were you identifying core beliefs at that time or helping them realize their subconscious belief systems that were causing the pain in the neck?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's okay, what are the emotions that are linked to this? And what's fun is even, you know, the people that I work with who help them to shift it, you know, sometimes it was just simply a pattern of self-criticism. And so
yes,
I would help them to shift that, and then you can see their life where they were extremely critical. Now, if you think about a pattern of self-criticism, some people will say, well, that's not really life-changing. But I can tell you, it is, because I've watched people and, you know, somebody who's extremely critical of themselves, and when they really change it, not kind of change it, but really change it, and they change it at that deeper level, they stop attracting people around them that criticize them. So that's one.
That's so cool.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
But if you imagine that trajectory, because I've seen it all the time, it's like, you know, an example, one of the people that I did under thermography, you know, literally changed every area of her life. You know, she's making a lot more money. She's a lot more successful. She's in a beautiful relationship. And why? Because she started attracting a different type of person.
Wow.
And a different types of events. And so now she feels great about herself, loves who she is. I mean, so not only did she heal herself, but her life changed because of it. And so I think it's so brilliant the way that the universe set it up to where it is. It's just like a check engine light, and so many people are trying to shut it down and say, well, let me just make it go away, let me wish it away, let me breathe it away, and all of that. And to me, it's exciting because it's like, okay, what is the message? And let me look at it and really shift it and shift my life, you know?
It's phenomenal. It's just the emotions that are attached and to the pain. And when you expose that emotion, you can start to reduce the pain. But my question is, how do you change the pattern for good? So in the moment, you can expose that and release that, but how do you do it for good?
Everything that's programmed in the mind is there for a reason. And so part of it is understanding why the brain wants it and why it's linked up. And then just understanding that the way that most people are working with the mind, they do things like trying to tell the emotion it's wrong, or trying to tap it away, or trying to basically squash it. And I would say that there's an order of operations for working with the mind, and one of them is simply getting a new way of doing things. So a new, like part of when I'm working with people to help them to create a radical shift, I give them a new way of looking at things moving forward. And for the simple reason that, you know, if you think about it, most people are like, okay, there's this negative emotion, I'm going to go release it, I'm going to get rid of it, I'm going to go to my childhood, I'm going to figure out where it started.
Right, right.
And that's what they do, right?
Right. They go backwards.
Yeah, they do. Now, if you think about it, if I said, I want to get rid of my refrigerator or couch, I wouldn't say, okay, well, this is when I bought it.
Where did it come from? Yes.
This is how much I paid for it, and this is blah, blah, blah. 10 hours later, I could still be yelling at it and upset about it.
And still have the refrigerator. Absolutely. But when you really look at how to change it moving forward, it's a forward motion. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I just want to keep talking with Brandy because she's got so much more to say. In the meantime, during the break, maybe check out the TED Talk, Brandy Gilmore, or go to BrandyGilmore.com. All right, I will be right back. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.